We appreciate the opportunity to come here to Galilee Baptist Church to share with you folks the ministry that the Lord has given to us there in Papua New Guinea, and we'll be talking about that more this evening. So I encourage you to come and see. We're going to have a presentation there, see some pictures of the ministry there in Papua New Guinea. But for right now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If you go back to our table, you'll see our prayer card. And I encourage you to pick one up. But on the back of our prayer card, you'll see this verse, Ephesians 6, 18. And this is the verse that I would like to look at today during our Sunday school time here. So let's start by reading this verse and then putting it in its context before we focus on what this verse actually says here. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, this verse, as you can see here, is right at the end of what we call the armory of God. Verse 12 here says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And because of that, we need protection. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. And this is a passage that we're familiar with, right? The armor of God. You know, a lot of times what we tend to do, even in our own minds, unfortunately, is we don't tend to put this verse 18, this aspect of praying, with the armor of God. And I would really like to encourage you to, when we think of the armor of God, to really put verse 18, really 19 and 20, the passage, this particular passage really ends with verse 20. But this whole idea of praying really needs to be put with the rest of the armor of God. And I think one reason that we don't tend to do that is because in verse 18, Paul leaves this analogy of armor, right? If you look at verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplication. So he's left the analogy there of the armor. But I think there's other words that point to the fact that we're still looking at a war situation here. And you see that in verse 18 when he says watching. Right? This is something that soldiers do even today and did back then in Bible times. They watched. And so because of this, and really because it is something that really makes sense in the passage as a whole, I believe praying is an all-encompassing aspect of the whole armor of God. And I use this word all-encompassing because in verse 18, you'll see four times this word all comes up. Praying always with all prayers, with all perseverance for all saints. In other words, we should be praying the whole time we are putting on the armor and also praying as we use this armor that God gives to us. And so with this in mind, let's look at this verse 18 here and this idea of praying. And I've entitled this practical praying. And I'd just like to really make this very, very practical to us, really because I think this is the way the verse here really, really comes out. It's very practical when we think about it in this way. This verse answers some very specific questions of, for instance, when we should pray, or who we should pray for, or how we should pray, and also with what kinds of prayer. We see answers to all these questions in this verse, and so because of that, I think it's very natural that we call this practical praying. And so let's look at some of these questions here, or rather the answers that we see in this verse, and I think the questions that really come out naturally from these statements. First of all, in answer to the question when, we see in verse 18, praying always. When should we pray? Always, or all the time. Or if you look at this word always, it's really means in every season. In every season. And there's different ways that you can think about that. But think about it this way. In every season of life, we should be praying. And I think this is very natural, especially when we sit down and think about this to at any length. Praying is something that anybody can do and should be doing. No matter if you're young, if you're middle-aged, or if you're later in life, praying is something that it really is for all seasons of life. And I think this is something that we all are aware of, but also at the same time, something that we should be reminding ourselves of. This isn't something that we grow out of. It's something that we can be teaching our kids, something that we should be doing ourselves, praying all the time, praying no matter what age we are. Now, this reminds me of a very specific example of something that the Lord brought into my own life several years ago. This story actually starts before I got married, before I actually went to the mission field full time. I was visiting a church in California on deputation, planning on going to the field, and I went to this church in California that ended up not being able to take us on for support, financial support, but I met this elderly lady there, Mrs. Hallberg, and I give her name only because she is no longer with us today, but she is in glory, praise the Lord. Mrs. Hallberg had the opportunity of meeting her and at this church, small church in California. And what a blessing she was to me at that time, but little did I know that she would actually take us on financially, supporting us as a missionary, as missionaries, even after I got married. But more importantly, she prayed for us. And I had heard this from other people, that she was a real prayer warrior. But I had the opportunity to see this for myself this last furlough, about 5 years ago when Rebecca and I came back on furlough. We had the opportunity to go to Mrs. Hallberg's house where she was staying, actually. She was staying with a daughter. She was getting up in years and couldn't really take care of herself. And she had this little room in her daughter's house. It had a bed, and at the end of the bed it had an easy chair. And we went into her room there, and we actually sat at the end of her bed, Rebecca and I did, and as she sat in her easy chair and just talked with us, and she reached over and she pulled out a 2-inch 3-ring binder, and she actually had two of these, and she opened it up, and they were full of missionary prayer cards. I mean, it's just one after another, page after page. And not only that, she had prayer letters in there also. And she was showing us this and kind of just, you know, showing us how she prayed for the missionaries. And what a challenge this was to me. And specifically in this area, often, you know, I tend to think, and we often think that, well, that's great. She's able to do that. She's older. She has time to do that. But yet really, as we're reminded here, and as we'll see in other places, we should be praying all the time. In every season of life, whether we're old or young or middle-aged. And this was a real challenge to me as my wife and I had the opportunity to sit down there with Mrs. Hallberg and just really see. She would literally spend hours in that chair flipping through and praying for these missionaries very specifically. And what a challenge it was for us to see that very specifically, and an encouragement to know that people here in the United States are praying for us. In every season, all the time. But I think as we study this, as we look at this term, all the time, praying always, in other parts of the New Testament, I think we can expand this out not only to mean all the time, or all season, in every season, but also this idea of all the time. And we see this when we look at verses that talk about praying, other verses in the New Testament, like Luke 18:1, which says, Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Right? And we're familiar with this parable that Jesus spoke there in Luke 18. Encouraging people to pray all the time, to be persistent in prayer, which is something that we're going to look at a little bit later here. Another verse here in Luke 21, verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. And then the verse that we're all familiar with in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And so when we look at this idea of praying all the time, this is something that comes up in several occasions throughout the New Testament, praying all the time. But obviously the question arises, how can we possibly do that, right? We have jobs. We have families to take care of. And unless we think or believe like the monks of old, right, who spent all their days in the monastery on their knees or reading God's word, which obviously the New Testament does not teach that, unless we think that, how can we really follow this idea, this really command to pray all the time? And this is something that I was thinking about when I heard a message from my pastor in Greenville, who was speaking on Psalm chapter 1. And this, as we know, this verse here in verse 2 of Psalm 1 talks about meditating on God's word. And it says that the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on the word of God. How often? Day and night. Now, that's pretty close to all the time, right? It is all the time. And this is something that he addressed. And now, this verse is talking about meditating, but I think we can make the connection here, right? Whenever we think about God's word, meditate on it, talk with ourselves about God's word, about God himself, what does this often lead to? Often leads to prayer, right? And it should. And so this idea of meditating or praying day and night, how do we do that? Well, this is a statement that was a help to me, and I'd just like to share it with you. A statement that my pastor said in connection with this, meditating day and night. Not that I think about nothing but the Bible, but that I think of nothing without the Bible. Or, to put it in our context here, not that I think of nothing but pray or do nothing but pray, but I think of nothing or do nothing without first praying about it. And when we think about it in that way, that really makes sense, right? That puts it in the realm of, well, now that's something that I can do. And really something that we should be doing. In other words, anything that I put my hand to do, I should be praying about it. I should be going to the Lord about this. Lord, how should I do this? What's the best way that I can carry out this work? Help me to do this for your honor, for your glory. Give me wisdom in doing this. And this is something that really was a help to me in this area of time, right? Praying all the time. Not thinking or doing anything without first going to the Lord, talking to Him about this thing that I'm about to do. And this can be a real help to us, and should be. Because another thing that my pastor said here in this area, this allows for no compartmentalizing. In other words, if we really focus on not doing anything without first praying about it, to talking to the Lord about it, okay, there's going to be no areas in our life that we don't bring before the Lord or talk to Him about. And this can be a real help to us in just living our lives before the Lord and just really seeking Him for help in all areas, not just certain areas, and having other areas that, well, we don't really have to go to the Lord with this. No, we should be praying all the time. So, all the time, praying always, is our first part of verse 18 there. The second part here states this, with all prayers. And this answers the question, what kinds of prayers? In other words, we should be praying all the time, but with what kind of prayers? Well, this verse helps us in this. It says, praying with all prayers and supplication. And there's two words here that are used in answer to what kinds, prayer and supplication. Prayer is a general term for really all kinds of prayer. And then supplication is a more specific word used for specific kinds of prayers. And anybody that has spent any time in studying, reading God's Word, especially the Old Testament, is familiar with the fact that there are very many different kinds of prayers. And one way that this verse, I think, really kind of breaks this down, or one way that we can think about this, is praying general prayers, or what we might call arrow prayers, spontaneous prayers, and specific prayers or planned prayers. And once again, I say this in an effort to make this very practical. And I think that these are things that we can see here and that we see in God's Word, really, in general. So let's just think about this. briefly these two areas of prayers as we think about all kinds of prayers. Spontaneous prayers and specific prayers. And these are things we don't have to dig deep in God's Word to see this, really, throughout God's Word. An example of spontaneous prayers would be Nehemiah. You read the first part of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see this very specifically. As Nehemiah goes before the king there in chapter 2, having just heard about the walls of Jerusalem, his hometown, being broken down, and he's sad in his heart, and it's showing on his face, and the king recognizes that. And the king says, Nehemiah, what's wrong? And Nehemiah just comes out. He says, King, how can I be happy when I know that the walls of my city are broken down? And the king just comes out and says, Nehemiah, what do you want me to do? What can I do? And then in verse 4 there, of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, we see this. Nehemiah says, Then I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, it's very interesting. In the very next verse, we see what Nehemiah just continues on talking to the king. We're not even told what the prayer was. But I think this is what we could or should consider a spontaneous prayer or an arrow prayer, which is what some commentators call it. And even though we don't know what Nehemiah said, I think we can pretty much figure this out, right? Nehemiah asked the Lord for wisdom. Lord, help me to say the right thing to the king here, that he might show kindness and help me with this desire that I have to go back. Okay, but once again, this is just a very quick, spontaneous prayer that just came out of Nehemiah's heart. And we see this from time to time in the Bible. And this is something that we all have done, right? As we're in difficult situations and we cry out to the Lord. But we also see this aspect of specific prayers or planned prayers. Like Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. Where Jacob wrestles with the Lord. Jacob puts all of his family across the brook there, across the stream. He's waiting for his brother Esau with 400 soldiers. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He puts all of his family across the stream, and he stays on the other side by himself as he talks or wrestles with the Lord. And he wrestles until he's blessed. And this is specific prayer that Jacob is making here. And you just read that in Genesis chapter 32, the end of the chapter there, where Jacob wrestles until he's blessed. Very specific, planned prayer that we see here. And we see this in other areas, specifically in the Psalms, where David is in a difficult situation, sometimes in a cave, and Saul's chasing him. And he's trying to hide, and he does what? He cries out to the Lord. Some of these, yes, are spontaneous, but some of them, it's very clear. He's sitting down, and he has some time on his hands here, and he's just pouring out his heart to the Lord. And these are things that we should be doing. And these are things that should be helpful to us as we go throughout the day. There are times when we are going to have spontaneous prayers, but there are times when we should have this planned time of going before the Lord. And once again, I bring up Mrs. Hallberg here. This is something that she did. She had a planned time, and she had very specific prayers that she was praying for. She wasn't just opening this notebook and saying, Lord, bless the Cranes. And I know that because when we sat on the end of her bed there and was talking with her, she She looked at us and she said, "How are Margaret and Simon doing?" This was a couple that we had put in our prayer letter who was struggling in their marriage. And what a blessing it was to be able to share that with her and how the Lord was answering some of her prayers and other people's prayers, specific prayers that she was praying for. She asked us about. And this is why missionaries send out prayer letters, so that people will pray specifically for these things. And I would just like to encourage you to take that and those prayer letters and use them to pray specifically for the missionaries and for the needs that they have there on the field. Moving on here in Ephesians 6, verse 18, the next phrase here that we see is in the Spirit. And this is obvious, right? Any prayer that is not in the Spirit is not true prayer, right? All true prayer is spiritual. And we know that, and yet this is something that we need to be conscious of. As we go to the Lord, we need to be very specifically and consciously depending on Him. And we see this in the book of Romans. And this is a verse I'm sure that we are all familiar with. But Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Spirit is there to help us. And we should be consciously relying on the Spirit as we go to the Father in prayer, as we bring these specific requests to Him. There's a lot that could be said about this, but moving on here to the next phrase here, which also tells us how, I think this next phrase here continues to answer the question how. We see in the Spirit, and then the next phrase, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. And these two terms here, perseverance and supplication, in my Bible I underlined them and then put arrows to the word watching, because this is how we should be watching. We should be watching with perseverance and supplication in our prayers. Now, once again, think about this term watching in relationship to the soldier. Right? If you had a night duty, you had to watch, right? Which meant that you shouldn't sleep. How often have we fallen asleep as we prayed? We all have, right? And this is something that we need to think about. Not that it's wrong or sin to fall asleep while we pray, but this word reminds us that we need to be alert in our prayers. And sometimes it's translated this way, being alert in our prayers. And this does take perseverance, something that we need to consciously be doing. It takes work. And this is why Jesus spends the first part of Luke 18 there, encouraging the disciples to be persistent in prayer. And he uses the example of the woman there who keeps going back to the judge. And what happens? She gets her request. God is going to answer our prayers. He wants to, right? But he also encourages us to be persistent in our prayers. Watching, not sleeping, being alert. And this is something that we see a connection with this in other verses here in the New Testament. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Keep watching and praying." All right, these are the words that Jesus told his disciples there in the garden. "Lest ye enter into temptation, keep watching and praying." Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Jesus says the same thing there. Keep watching and praying. Colossians 4:2, the verse we already looked at, but the first part of this verse says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Keeping alert in prayer. So, how should we be praying? We should be praying in the Spirit, keeping alert, persevering in prayer. And this is something that the Lord has really impressed upon my own heart. This is why I'm sharing this with you folks here. Because as I've spent over 10 years now in the ministry, I began to realize that, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do. I can give the gospel to this person, and I can use all the right verses and say the right thing. But unless the Spirit of God works in that man's heart, my words will fall on deaf ears. Now, the Word of God will not return void, and the Lord can use that later on. But unless the Spirit of God does that work, the next question is how? How do we get the Spirit of God to work? It's through prayer. And this is the how here. We should be praying in the Spirit, all right, with the Spirit's help and persevering in that. And then lastly, who? The last part of Ephesians 6:18 answers this question with this short phrase, for all saints, for all the saints. Now, this is interesting, right? But put this in the context here. Remember, this is in the context of the armor of God. How we can fight the daily spiritual battles that we have. And one of the ways that we can do that is, should be doing that, is with all prayer. As we pray, not only for ourselves, but also for others, praying for other believers, right? This is the term saints here. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church has kind of taken this word here and changed its meaning, really, is what they've done. Biblically speaking, the word saints here refers to all believers, any man, woman, or child who has put their faith and trust in Christ. And these are people that we should be praying for, right? All the saints, all the believers. And as we look through the New Testament, this is something that we see. This is something that we see Paul saying often at the beginning of some of his letters, like 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Colossians 4:3, praying for us as well. Colossians 1:3, praying always for you. Paul's saying here very specifically that he was praying for the believers there in Colossae. Philippians 1:4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. Ephesians 1:16, while making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, this is something that Paul did all the time. Brought them, the believers there in Ephesus, before the Lord in prayer. And then the verse here in Acts chapter 12, the story that we're familiar with, of Peter being put in prison. And what were the saints doing as Peter was in prison? Acts 12:5 says, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made fervently by the church of God. And we know very specifically that prayer was answered. And the angel came and brought Peter out of prison that night. Who should we be praying for? Well, this verse states very specifically, all the saints. And it's like I said, when we think about this, it's kind of interesting. We often think about praying for unsaved people, and not that we shouldn't pray for them, we should. But here, very specifically, it's mentioned that prayer for the saints needs to be made and should be made with all perseverance and supplication. And when we put this in the context of missions, I think the words of a song that I sometimes sing at missions conferences says this: "Some for whose souls we prayed will share our joy that day, joining our song for the sake of his name." And you think about that, that's very true. Some of the saints that we have prayed for, on those prayer letters, people that we probably will never see in this life, and yet, we will see them in glory. There's no doubt about it. Some for whose souls we prayed will share our joy that day, joining our song, joining with us in song for the sake of the Lord's name. And what a great opportunity we have to minister. Even though we cannot go, right? We all can't go to the foreign mission field, but we all can pray. And this is an emphasis that the Lord has placed on our hearts as we visit our supporting churches. Something that I'll be touching on again this evening briefly. And as I mentioned, it's on the back of our prayer card. And I'd just like to encourage all of you to think about these things. Think about this verse here and how we should be praying all the time with all kinds of prayer for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look at this verse here in Ephesians 6:18, and this idea, this command to pray that we have, that you've given to us. Lord, help us to take this seriously and to persevere in prayer. We do thank you, Lord, for those that do this. We know that there are folks that do this. And we thank you for them. And we pray that other believers would take up this command and be serious and persevere in this particular area of praying for missionaries, praying for the saints on these mission fields in other countries around the world. And remembering the whole time, Lord, that many of these people we will see in glory. And we thank you for this opportunity to have a part in missions through prayer. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.